Real news. Fake president.
Just fact check us.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hi, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome y'all to
The Dish. Did his voice crack again?
It did. I was like thinking about that the whole time. I'm like, please don't crack.
Chris, don't crack. Stop sucking dick before the show.
Never. Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
Welcome back.
Yes.
So happy to be here. How are you, boys?
Happy to be here.
How are you?
Oh, just delightful. Delovely.
Delovely. We're in the midst of Pride Month.
And it's like the fourth day of summer now.
Is that what it is? Pride Month?
Yes.
Oh. Are you sure? Because the president never said anything about that.
Oh, well, he's an asshole.
Oh,
yeah. Right. Fuck her.
We'll get there later.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like we have, what, one more full week of the month of June, and World Pride will be wrapping up this following Sunday, or this upcoming Sunday, in New York City. And it's going to be a big, big celebration. And I think it's going to be amazing. And then, of course, you know, just because the month of June ends does not necessarily mean that we can't continue to celebrate Pride, as Pride celebrations will continue to happen for the rest of the year all over the world. So, you know, it's Pride all the time. It's just that, you know, June is for us. And you can't take it away.
Absolutely.
And there Mr. Hashtag not my president.
And there have been massive Pride events globally.
That's right.
And nations that really put down the LGBT community. I believe Kyiv and Ukraine had the largest Pride this past weekend that they've ever had. Mm-hmm. I know that there was an incredibly successful Pride event in Tel Aviv. And I believe there were other Pride events that were very successful in Eastern Europe, where they, you know, some nations may be part of the EU or be EU hopefuls, but their laws don't really protect people in our community.
Yeah.
But they were taken to the streets. And, you know, even with the disapproval of perhaps their governments, they made sure that they were going to stand out there. They were going to be prideful.
Well, that's why we voted in Trump, so that we would be protected.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. Is
that correct? LGBTQs for Trump, the one that was written on with a Sharpie 20 minutes before he walked it on stage.
Yeah, we absolutely, you know, mean that very facetiously.
Yeah, absolutely. And Right. And when we get to On This Day in Gay History, I can be sure to turn it back to bash Trump again. So don't you worry.
Okay. So, all right. So listen, it's another episode. We've got a lot of stories. It's all about the dish today. So I'm going to kick it over to Christopher. Christopher's going to tell us what our suggested cocktail is today, and then we'll just move on.
We'll move it on from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one sounds really good. It does. It's called the Bordello. Yes, exactly. That's our suggested cocktail today. This is courtesy of Manhattan's Cherry. It consists of 2 ounces bison grass vodka. It's like a greenish bottle. Zabrufka is one brand, the only brand I know, and it is a word. And it has it's really nice vodka. It's about $25 a bottle and has a strand of bison grass in it. So again, 2 ounces bison grass vodka, 0.875, you know, get your jiggers ready for that, ounces of cherry blossom syrup. I'm just going to eyeball it and be like, yeah, it's probably close enough. 1 ounce fresh lime juice, and then coins of cucumber. Mm-hmm. 2 coins of cucumber.
You gotta slice them like a coin.
So you add all the ingredients into an iced cocktail shaker, shake it vigorously, of course, and then pour into a martini glass and garnish with pickled cherry blossom, which you probably have in your pantry at all times. So it's, you know, simple. It's easy.
Yeah. Right. And you mentioned something about New York cherry. Are you sure it wasn't Trish's?
Where did you find this? Like, what is this cocktail?
I mean, who doesn't have pickled cherry blossom in their pantry?
I also found
out
earlier today.
Who also has a pantry in 2019?
Earlier today, I found out that Chris bought.
What?
Salmon flavored vodka.
Oh my God. I bought it like 5 years ago. It was the most god-awful thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Like, who buys that?
Well, I was in the, and you know what the worst part was? It was like $68. We were walking through the liquor store, and this is the time when my
room. What the hell do you drink that with? Wasabi in it?
No, I thought it would be a great Bloody Mary. Like, they have pepper vodka. No. They have bacon vodka. I thought smoked, because I love putting shrimp or raw clams in my Bloody Mary. So I was like, oh, smoked salmon might.
But the vodka should not be smoked salmon.
It was very bad. It was very terrible. It was product of Alaska. Like I said, it was like almost $70. That bottle, I made one drink with. I brought it to a Sandpiper Christmas party to make Bloody Marys with it. And I tried it. I was like, oh my God, this is god awful. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever put in my mouth. And I've kissed Trish before, and it was absolutely terrifying. So this bottle.
So also earlier, so he was saying that I never listened to him.
She doesn't. You know why.
So I was not listening to that story, but exactly. I heard that last part.
Exactly.
And that is not appropriate.
And we have it on video.
I cannot.
She was literally texting and she went.
She did.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
Yeah. So I wouldn't recommend it. But yeah, I would, however, recommend the Bordello.
Okay. Just don't put that, nasty fishy vodka in it.
Right. No.
Okay. All right. So let's jump into our weekends really quick. I'll toss it over to Trish. Trish, why don't you kick us off? How was your weekend?
It was fine.
It was fine. Yeah. Just fine.
No, I had like one good experience. So I went to go get new glasses.
Of course you did.
And I'm in the store, and this like cute older couple, they're there and they're looking at glasses, and the guy puts a pair on, and he's like, I think these are female. I'm like, they look great on you. It's fine. Like, it doesn't matter if they're female or male. If they look good on your face, like, wear them. And so he ended up getting the glasses, which was amazing.
You told him this or his...
I was talking to him. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So, like, yeah, no. Like, we became friends.
Of course you did.
But anyway, so there's this whole section where I was that's unisex, and the woman that I was working with was like, those are all unisex. And the woman of the couple was like, oh, so that's the they section. And I was like, oh my God, you're amazing. And that's why I got so obsessed with them. I was just like, what?
She knows her pronouns.
I know. It was amazing. So it was really cute. And then I told the older man that I was single, and I almost got a date out of it. It was weird.
She's
you left that part out earlier.
Yeah, well, he was like, you have beautiful blue eyes. I'm like, I'm single. And like the whole store just started laughing. I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You're going to get yourself a date on an eyeglass place. Mm.
Get them discounts.
Hey, their insurance went through before mine. They got money. Hello.
Hello. Proud of you. And Christopher, how was your weekend?
I worked.
You worked, but you had a good weekend, though.
Yeah.
You did something this weekend.
Oh, yes, I did do something.
Oh, see, do I have to pry all this shit out of you guys?
Sometimes I forget things. Oh, well, I forget things.
Don't forget that freaking bottle of fucking vodka that's salmon flavored. You didn't forget that.
No, well, I mean, that was horrid. That was horrid. Yes, and he brought it up. But yes, I paid off my car this weekend. Yay.
And he paid it early. He paid it off early. Which means he's going to get a refund on, you know, some of the
$7.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky. Yeah. But no, at the end of the day, fuck the refund. I don't care. I paid my car off. I own that car. Those were a long 6 years, and it's paid off.
Nice, and it's yours, and it feels good.
Yeah, it does.
And wait until you get that title in your hand. You know, once you have it in your hand, it's like, oh my God, this is mine. Like,
you can't tow it now. Like,
literally,
you can't take it away.
I walk out to go to lunch today, and there's a fucking tow truck in my complex. I was like, I just paid for that thing. You can't take it.
No, and the thing is, you know,
it wasn't for my car.
There's no better feeling than once you get that title, you could at any point in time just flip it over and sign your name and just give it to someone because it's yours. Sell it or do whatever you want with it. It's your property.
I remember when you paid your car off. I remember how you
And then I stepped on the thing and it broke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. And you almost gashed your damn ankle. Like your shin bone slashed a tibia in half or something like that.
But no, once you get it, and you know, it's like, honestly, I think it's in my safe somewhere, but I have it. And it's just amazing. It really, truly is an amazing feeling when you're done.
It was. I remember leaving work. I knew that I had some more time to pay it off, and I was having a really good night at work. And I was like, you know what? I'm doing it tonight. I'm paying my car off tonight. And I left work. I went to Chili's to get some takeout because it was a long day at work and I just wanted to take something home and like chill and crash because I had to work the next day. I'm sitting at the bar. I put my order in. I pulled out my phone, opened up the app, and I just paid the last payment.
And now, like, watch, within 2 or 3 months, like, if you go to try to sign into your app, they'll close your profile and everything because you're done. They want nothing to do with you.
I want nothing to do with them.
Oh, trust me, I know. And, you know, and now you'll have
meanwhile,
a little extra
he's like,
money in your pocket.
The next car I buy.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I'm going to chill on this one for a little bit.
Yeah, no, and then, you know, just stick with it for a couple of years, and then whenever you're ready, if you want to go and do it all over again, you can do it. But it feels good to have that little extra cash.
Absolutely.
You know, every month that you don't
I
have
miss
to pay.
That.
So. Are you kidding me? I'm not keeping any of it. I got to pay off my credit card debt. It's just moving. I'm just, like, moving the payment to something else.
Yeah, but at least you have a little extra to put on that
Yeah. Exactly. No, you know, it's overall good things. Good
well,
things,
congratulations.
Yes. So I thank you, Tommy.
Congrats. So, Tom, how was your weekend?
My weekend was it was very low key. Friday. I discovered that a local establishment right down the road from me does karaoke on Fridays, and so some of my karaoke folks who go to our bar for my karaoke night, you know, called me up and said, hey, you should come down. We're gonna all going to be there. And I'm like, so I went out. I hung out with the group, and we had such an amazing time. And then, you know, I got a little white girl.
No. Yay.
And then I came back home. And then the next morning I had to get up and do some stuff around the house, get things done. But obviously that didn't happen. And then mom the only thing I will tell you I did was that I did do mow my lawn, right? And so I did that both front and back, and I felt good about that. But then I was like too pooped. I was, you know what? I'm going back to bed, blah, blah, blah. And then I worked that night. And then Sunday I woke up and I was like, I know that I have to get so many things done. For example, the Pride Spotlight series that we're doing, we're rolling into the last week. So I did the last 5 posts that we're going to do for this entire week, which will complete the series. So if you want to go back on our website, gaytalk20.com, and go through all of those posts and see all of those amazing people and their contributions, you can do that on our website. And so I did that. And what else did I do? I did laundry. I actually folded my laundry, so I don't have to dig for my stuff every morning.
That's fun.
And so I did that. And then mom came from New York because she was visiting her sister. And we hung out for a bit, and then I went to work. And did karaoke, and then here we are today. It's Monday.
We're back.
So we're back.
We're here.
We're queer. Hello?
Anything? No.
Get used to it?
Get used to it.
Thank you. All right, so listen, let's jump into some stories. Oh, cursive is already starting, and we're not even halfway there.
Wasn't me.
Did we ever get that book in the mail?
The one that Mama Kim sent?
No, the other one. I'm finding it. Keep talking.
Okay. So being that, you know, we've got plenty of time to discuss all these stories and blah, whatnot, because we're going to be doing a Dish episode, I'll kick it off. Well, last week or the week before last, I'd mentioned to Trish had she had an opportunity to watch Pose, the season premiere of season 2 of Pose, because I wanted to discuss Heart Island. And that's Heart, H-A-R-T, Island. Not to be confused with Heart Island, which does exist in the state of New York, but that's all by the like St. Lawrence River, all upstate and stuff. But that's a whole different story. And the reason why I wanted to talk about it, because given the nature of the episode and the topics that are being discussed, the whole show is based on the underground Vogue movement and, you know, the houses of the voguing community. And of course, the AIDS crisis and the HIV issues that really just took over everything from like 1980 all the way up through the mid 1990s, we were losing a lot of people. And the show does a really good job at explaining and really showcasing the emotion behind being scared, being afraid of having human contact because you just don't know, you know, how you get it or how it could spread in the beginning. And then later on, when they find out that it's not airborne, that it's mostly transmitted through sexually transmitted, then people started really being scared of being intimate. And the show does a really good job of showcasing that and that emotion. But one of the things that it showcased in the first 5 minutes, which is why I said I was broken, I was just shook and crying, was that during the whole, the height of the AIDS epidemic in the 80s and up into the mid 90s, people were dying and no one, family members who had shunned them, weren't claiming their bodies.
Right.
And didn't want to, no one knew who they were. So there were just, you know, John Doe's. And so these people would die in hospitals and then they would be brought to this island and where they would have this mass burial of boxes and they would just bury them on Hart's Island. And that really just, it shook me. It shook me because there are still people that are laying interred on that island that have never been claimed.
Yep.
They're nameless boxes with just numbers on them.
I think what the show does besides, you know, highlight the AIDS crisis is they talk about chosen family and that is what is I think the most important thing to take away from the show. That moment in that first episode of season two, to just like see those boxes stacked on top of one another, it's terrifying. It's heartbreaking, and honestly, that could happen to any community, to anyone. Like something could break out. I mean, we have patient zero over here. But like, no, but seriously, I think the beauty in this show is that it's not about who you love. It's not about who you are. It's about who loves you. That's and right. finding the family that loves you when you are no longer supported.
And that was the beauty of the underground voguing community and these chosen houses,
balls, the
and
balls.
Balls and stuff that you could, you know, become. Like you had a mother and you had a father and, you know, these were people that you look up to and they would take you under their wings and sort of kind of...
They would do anything for you.
Can you talk about the voguing community a little bit?
So it's actually, it's the balls that they used to have. They were balls and people would compete. So it was like, your different houses or your different chosen families would compete for
trophies.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and basically what it was is like you had the MC. So in the show, Billy Porter plays Pray Tell. That's his character. And he's the MC, and he's the one that comes like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, the category is... let me make up a fake category.
Royalty.
And so you would have to come out dressed like royalty, and you would have to sort of kind of sashay and vogue your way down this little walkway. And so each family would compete against each other, and then the judges who were up there would give you your scores, and then based on your scores, it would determine who the winner was. And the fun thing is that still happens to this day. And so another really fun thing to know about that whole scene is that in 1990, when Madonna came out with Vogue, that particular song was in homage to the balls that used to happen in the underground scene in New York.
And Billy Porter, who is a star in the show, was actually a part of that community back in the day. I mean, he recently in an interview said, I never competed. I was on the sidelines, but I was there. And now he gets to share their stories. It's like really amazing.
Yeah, no, that's incredible.
And he does such an amazing job. So, and then another thing too is like, for example, two of Madonna's dancers in her Vogue video, and of course went on to tour with her on her Blonde Ambition tour, were Vogue dancers from one of the families or one of the houses from that community. So that was pretty cool. I think one is Jose Gutierrez, and then the other one, I can't remember his name, but overall, it's just an amazing show, and it really does a good job in capturing, you know, just the essence of family, but also the scare that came behind, you know, what was unknown at the time. And you get to see the beginnings of a lot of underground movements, for example, ACT UP, and all of these other movements that grew out of, you know, this need for people to just be able to get the care that they needed because they didn't want to treat them. You know? And so I knew that this was going to be a very lengthy discussion because there's so much.
But to reiterate, too, I mean, like, we always talk about how our community is so separated. But if you look historically, the women in our community were the ones that were the only people that were going in to help and support us. The nurses, they were there to be there and support us.
While doctors were terrified to even touch these patients with an unknown disease at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, another thing that they showcase as well is was the community, or specifically the gay community, but the men and bars, how they treated transgender women. Had they didn't want them in their bars because of, you know, the fact that they were considered to be mentally ill. And again, it goes back to this whole thing about the state of New York considering homosexuality some sort of mental illness.
The whole United States thought that way. Yeah. So it's so appalling that people turned against the trans community with that as the argument, that they are have a mental illness, when so many Americans viewed the LGBT community during, prior to and during the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. as mentally ill.
But I also think it has to do with like masculinity, right? Because yes. like people,
yes, of
like
course.
That's at the end of the day, I mean, that is the root of all of the issues. It's the fact that like even in the gay community with gay men, we have to make ourselves known and be this person. And back then it was like, why would this person want to dress up like a woman? When in reality, that's not the case. That's not what's going on. And so they would force what could technically attack the community or them out. Why are you in this bar? This bar is for men. This is not for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they would say. But, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that if it weren't for these drag queens and for the transgender brothers and sisters in our community, we probably wouldn't be celebrating Pride.
Right. Especially
decades later.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at the Stonewall Rising, mm-hmm. the drag queens were at the forefront for
that's
that.
Right.
They were the ones that were standing up and said, the heel stops here. Like, and we're going to go at it. And it was unfortunate that there was so much animosity toward our community, and then certain factions of that community put it on other parts of that community.
Yeah. It's just, watch the show, people. You owe it to, if you're part of the LGBT community or if you're an ally, you owe it to yourself to watch this. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. It is an amazing show. We said it before last week. It is on FX, and you guys can watch it on your local, you know,
yeah.
cable. The first season is on Netflix, so you can watch the whole season. You know, you can binge
I'll watch
on
it. Okay, I promise.
And then, you know, jump into season two. I think you'll really enjoy it.
The first episode was so dynamic, yes. and was so watched that it was renewed for a third season That's after right. the first episode was released.
That's yeah. incredible.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to see because, you know what shows like this does? It gives you a way to, one, educate yourself if you're a youngling, someone that just is coming up today, about our history. But if you are a person who has been around for a while, you know.
How old are you, Tommy?
I'm 40. I already told you this.
I know. I just like saying it.
And it just gives you an opportunity to really just refresh your memory and try not to forget what it is that we're fighting for at the end of the day.
Right. And it's incredible when you look at, what was that show, the miniseries, When We Rise?
Yeah. When We Rise. Yep.
You know, I mean, that changed the United States. Mm-hmm. Was it ABC or NBC?
ABC.
ABC put it out, and they changed the game. This was a network, a mainstream network, that put out a show that told the story of the rise of our community, saying that we're not going to take this anymore, and then showed the progress and the death and the failure and those who overcame persecution throughout the country. And they showed this to middle America. This was accessible in every household.
That's right.
And since then, there have been these movies that have been coming out, Netflix originals, Hulu originals, Amazon mm-hmm. originals. The game has finally changed. Now you have all these different corporations and businesses that are portraying gay couples in their commercials. The media has changed forever. We are now embraced as part of the humankind community. And it's incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the thing is, too, is that you have allies now that are really coming out of their way to support.
Right.
Taylor Swift came out with a video for Pride Month, showcasing a whole bunch of LGBTQ artists, including Ellen DeGeneres. Who else was in that video? So many people. And
Anthony from Gay Queer Eye. Help
Wait,
me.
See the
Actually,
Q
the whole, I think it was the whole cast. The Fab Five was in the video.
Was it the whole cast?
Ellen was in it. There was a whole bunch of people, and Anthony. It's just amazing. I will tell you though,
dreamy.
They
were on Nailed It. It was funny.
I don't understand why this is happening, but there are some in our community that are now attacking her for doing that, saying that she's just trying to market a song and take advantage of the fact that it's Pride Month.
People are always going to do that. People are always going to try to point negativity out of, you know, at the end of the day, it's raising awareness. Yeah, if she gets a couple extra bucks in her pocket, good for her. But, you know, it's raising awareness.
And listen, also, like, she doesn't give a shit about extra dollars at this point. Come on.
Right, exactly.
And if you think about it, if that were the case, someone like Ellen DeGeneres would not put their face.
Exactly. Ellen would not sign on board for some kind
of... Neither would have I, and I did.
Yeah. And
I'm in the video.
And all I say is...
She was an uninvited extra in the back. You can see her being
guys,
pulled away by security.
And I always say this.
We want to interview you. Guys.
And I say this constantly, but, you know, one of our biggest assets and one of our biggest strengths is visibility. And as long as we continue to push for that, I think that there's much greater days to see ahead of us. And I think that's fantastic. So that's my story for today.
That was terrible.
I know. All right. So what time is it? It's 7
break
p.m.
Time.
You sure you want to go to break or you want to cover one more story and then go to break?
I guess we'll jump into mine because it kind of goes with this.
All right.
So, we're going to talk about... a U.S. senator who is also a presidential hopeful, U.S. senator from California, Kamala Harris.
Woot, woot.
She's introducing a bill to guarantee insurance coverage for PrEP. And she was quoted saying, PrEP is a critical advancement in the fight against HIV that can finally provide peace of mind to Americans who live in the shadow of the HIV epidemic. And as we know now, and we've talked about with Dr. G, PrEP, it's proven to... be 90% plus effective.
Things like 99.
It's 90% plus effective, and then when you add condoms into it and really use safe sex, it goes up to that 99 mark. But the studies were showing PrEP alone is a safe... It's what's the word for it?
Prophylactic,
that's it. So she is fighting to get this bill passed through Congress to take on Gilead, who is charging an exorbitant amount of money that is keeping... those who are uninsured or underinsured from being able to get the protection that many Americans need, not just people in the LGBT community, mm-hmm. not just gay men. It's a safety net for so many Americans. And her bill, in line with the Affordable Care Act, would require all public and private health insurance plans, including Medicare and Medicaid, to cover drugs used for PrEP. It would fund a grant program to assist states, territories, and tribal communities in facilitating access to PrEP for people who lack insurance or those who are underinsured. It would also, this is important too, prohibit companies selling life insurance, disability insurance, and long-term care insurance from denying coverage to customers who take PrEP, which is an incredibly important part of this bill. And then it would fund a public education campaign to reduce disparities in access to and use of PrEP by educating the public. So it's really it's covering all aspects. And I think this is an incredible bill. And she's saying that only 7% of the 1 million Americans who could benefit from PrEP, that's roughly 78,368 individuals actually filled prescriptions back in 2016.
That's nuts.
It's nuts, but I want to tell you that I have some amazing news coming to you right from our own backyard here in the state of Connecticut in Hartford. It was determined that they're going to allow a vote to go onto the floor for resolution HB 6540 in the state of Connecticut, which would make it legal for underage individuals under the age of 18 to actually be able to have access to PrEP
without
their parents' consent.
That's incredibly important.
And it is, because, you know, it starts with our youth. If we are going to be the generation that is going to eradicate HIV and AIDS, it needs to start with our youth. We need to educate them young. We need to get them at an early age because, you know, teenagers tend to take risk, you know, at that age. I know I did. And so I think it's important. I think that it's going to be an amazing thing if it does go through.
Yeah, and I think that's House Bill. What was the number again for
that? It's HB 6540.
6540. So definitely going to do more research in that, and hopefully Governor Lamont can persuade our House of Assembly to get this pushed through. And it's really important. That's part of this bill that Kamala Harris is pushing to teach.
I could have sworn I read somewhere that we had good news surrounding the bill. It's just that I can't find the documentation or the article, but we'll
do our research because it's really important to teach the safety, the efficiency, and to teach about how we can combat the stigma that comes with those who are affected by HIV, open to, like, higher risk to coming across HIV or using PrEP. Yeah. There's even a stigma with just using PrEP.
I think that's great. I think that's a great bill, and I hope that passes. That being said, I think our education system is flawed in the sense
of course.
In the sense that what really needs to happen is we need to start having conversations with kids and parents so that they're not just going to a doctor and asking for a pill without their parents' consent. They should be able to have the knowledge of how to have safe sex without having to go somewhere and say, hey, I think I might be gay. I want to try this. You should be able to have a conversation with your parents. So that is why our education right now is flawed, because right now we're not teaching kids how to have safe sex. We're teaching them, okay, well, you may get AIDS, so take this pill.
Right.
And there are things that come along with that
pill.
That's
the stigma that comes along with PrEP.
And that's why organizations like Planned Parenthood are important, because they do provide
incredibly important,
incredible sexual classes and programs to teach children and parents alike to get knowledgeable about information and medicine such as PrEP to be able to help.
As well as your local medical centers. There's one in New Haven where you can go there and you can get full screen testing. You can get information. They will tell you where you can find PrEP providers that will make it easier to stay on PrEP and help you afford PrEP. And it's also very important that we are taking on this bill here in Connecticut, because so many people of religious backgrounds are going to keep their children from accessing these drugs, as well as certain religious backgrounds that are keeping children from being safe, such as when you look in New York, Governor Cuomo signed that executive order stating that there's no longer the religious exemption for the vaccination.
And that is an amazing.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely. People are dying because of these people who say that no, God will keep them safe. No, antibiotics are going to keep you from dying. Like, that's incredibly important. So these bills to surpass these religious exemptions are incredibly important, and I feel that since it passed on the state level in New York, and now it's up for debate in Connecticut, this can be the beginning of a snowball effect.
Yeah,
it's a very small hailstone, but it can start somewhere.
I think that when it's regarding public health, right? It's when it regards the health of a community, I think that, you know, there shouldn't be any type of religious exemption, especially with vaccinations, because you're putting a demographic in danger.
Yeah, we eradicated this disease. This disease was no longer on mainland USA, and now it's back.
Yeah. And it's tragic and sad.
And one day we can say that we will eradicate AIDS.
Hopefully.
I would hopefully. And also, speaking of Truvada, and just want to remind everyone that the patent for Truvada actually expires. The exclusive patent expires in 2020, which means that they'll be able to actually release the medication for you, for companies to be able to come up with an alternative
or a generic
version, which will allow the prices to actually come down and make it even more accessible to those in any community that may need it.
I also think it's important too. If you're not on Truvada and you feel as though no matter what age you are, if you feel like you've come into contact with HIV or AIDS, you can go and
to the emergency room. Yeah.
Go to the emergency room. They have an intense dosage. It's not going to feel good. You're not going to feel good for a couple of days, but it will eradicate the disease from your body if you think you have come into contact with it.
Yeah. And it's important to understand that is most effective when it's actually done within the first 48 hours of your presumed exposure to HIV.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. That's great news.
Good stuff.
Thank you, Kamala.
Good stuff. We'll follow it.
Don't forget, Wednesday and Thursday.
Fact check us.
That's right. Well, first, always fact check us. But Wednesday and Thursday, the first ones, it'll be a fun time.
That's right. Debates are coming up, so stick around for those. I'm sure Christopher will have some commentary on that.
Absolutely.
I'm not coming to the show next week.
I'm going old school on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm going to have my notepad out. Oh, I'm going to have every candidate's name written down. I'm going to take notes for every single one of them.
With this number two keyboard?
That's right. My number two keyboard. I'm going to dust that shit off. We're getting to work, baby. We're getting to work.
All right. On that note, it's been an amazing first half. We have so much more dish for you on the second half. We're going to take a quick break. Here's some music. We'll be right back.
It's hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much. to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. Cause if you wanted me to move, you know I would, because I'm good at making you love me. And if I said I needed more than I came for, would you ignore me making you love me? So baby, play me on your last secret.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Time by the incredible Pat Riley. Trish is having a moment over here with her headset. She'll get into that in a minute. But welcome back. So we left you guys during the first half of the break. We were talking about Kamala Harris and prep and all that good stuff. We've got a couple of more stories, and she's going to get another headset that we want to talk about. But I wanted to just quickly mention that I found this story on, of course, Hornet.com, which was
UnicornBooty.com.
Thank you, baby. And
what the fuck is she doing?
She's getting another headset. Something's wrong with hers. So there are five board games out there that are specifically for the LGBT community and for different factions of the queer community. And I thought it would be really cute to just really go through them really quick while she gets ready. And so anyway, the first
what,
one.
What's what? Really, guys? Come on. It's not my fault, broke.
No, it's okay. We'll figure it out. We need new equipment. Anyway, so the first one is
Studio Sweden. Send us new stuffs. Oh wait,
they did.
Check out our new product by Studio Sweden.
Yeah, it's the Tolv in-ear. They're called little pods and stuff, and we're gonna be actually wearing them, using them, trying to get some information and get a feel for them, and then we're gonna give
a nice. She's wearing. One of their earlier products.
Yeah, the original Studio Sweden headsets.
That's right.
And so we'll tell you a little bit more about those when we have a fair assessment of the product and after we've used them for a while. But anyway, so they've got Game Monopoly, and this one is actually it's based on a leather daddy theme. So you have like different places where you can go to, like for example,
partners.
it features like some of the greats of the leather community, like Tom of Finland, who's an art and it's a gay theme. Properties like Fire Island, Castro Street, houses and hotels have been replaced by bars and bathhouses. Come on, this is hysterical. Number two is a game called Homogeneous, which it's an unlike Game Monopoly, you can still get a copy of Homogeneous. Also, unlike Game Monopoly with Tom of Finland Art, Homogeneous claims to be so tame you can play it with your mother.
It looks like Sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. And then they have Dial Gay for Murder.
Oh, is that like Gay Clue?
Probably.
Let's yes. See. How to host a murder style. How to host a murder. Yes.
Or a role-playing game. And then, of course, they have That's So Gay, which is like a trivia card game. Oh, wait. No, that's Bingo. It's similar to Bingo.
No, it looks like Bingo.
Yeah.
No, it's another trivia game.
I'm colorblind. There's too much going on there.
And then there's Rainbow Gamey, like Gay, A-Y-M-E. And the Rainbow Gamey from 1992 also frames itself as an educational game. And like Homogeneous, it's another trivia game. But unlike Homogeneous, you start off by coming out of the closet. Like aww. If that should be done. You can tell that's definitely a 1992 game. But anyway, there's several other
wait games. A minute. Something else came out of 1992.
Chris.
Yay!
Wow, I can't.
What a good year.
What is Tops to Bottom? That's what I want to know. Because
there's also Tops to Bottom, a popular party game that has several expansions. Top to Bottom.
Oh, it's like Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, it's
there was slight cursive in there.
There totally was. Yeah.
But if you prefer just playing Cards Against Humanity, there's a few unofficial expansions like Cox, Abreast, Hostility. Or, you know, you can even make your own. So we'll post a list on our post for tonight's episode. I thought it was cute to sort of kind of go through these because they're funny.
I like the Rainbow Gamey one because I like the categories they have. It's like famous quotes, multiple choice, draw this item, play charades. That's always a fun one. And how do you respond? Like, would you rather? Something like that.
We should totally try to get fun. These games.
I don't.
Can we play it on air? Let's like. Just
we
get
should.
One.
Yeah. Have a special episode.
Yeah.
All right, not listeners. Okay.
So
Trish is not invited.
So which one do we want to do? Her. That's Okay. A game of LGBTQ
I
discovery.
Think we want to do From Top to Bottom.
That one too.
Either that one or Rainbow Gamey. All right, well, now we have two things for our listeners.
All right, Chris, you have homework. You need to find out how we can get these.
All right, well, I'll figure that out. But
Amazon, probably.
Yeah, exactly. My homework's fucking easy. Our listeners are the one, just like the roast of Trish, we want some emails.
Which was terrible, by the way.
I know, because we just didn't want to hurt you. We do it all the time.
We're scared of her.
I mean, I'm not scared of her, but...
You're a liar.
I am a liar. Yeah. So, for our listeners, send us some emails if you would like us to play these games live. And I think that'd be fun.
I don't know how that would
pick
translate
the games,
to audio.
Pick the game.
Yeah, sure. We'll pick a game and go for it. Why not?
I mean, we don't our show, but we can edit this so and put it together and everything. By Tom can edit it with all of his free time.
I was like,
I'm going to show up, I'm going to drink, and then I'm going to stumble out of here. Yeah, I'll take it from there.
At least he admits it. You know, that's the first step into, helping yourself is acknowledgement. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
As she grabs her glass of wine and sips it down. I love it.
I can't.
Anyway, Trish, you have a story. Go, baby girl.
All right. So I'm going to start with something personal.
Uh-huh. Okay, go.
So recently, y'all know I'm on Tinder.
Same.
So recently I matched with this very cute guy. We were talking.
No surprise.
Wait, is this the one with the pretty dick?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Let's hear a bit more about it. Hold on. Let me cross my leg. All right, good. Go.
Wow. Anyway, so he was like, this is my snap. So I've been snapping back and forth with him. And he sent me a pic earlier, and he was like, are you going to tell everybody about this on the show? And I was like,
oh, that's what you already did.
What?
You said you got a dick pic.
No, this was like 5 minutes ago.
Well,
but I didn't tell the listeners.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, all right.
It was a dick pic.
Sorry, he got a dick pic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous.
Super sexy, super cute, straight,
oh, question mark. God, why do you always do that?
I don't know.
It's why like, do you always like, do that? They're like either crazy or straight.
True. But like...
God, I hope his name is not Steve.
It's not!
What is it?
Oh, or any variation of Steve. Yeah, we're not going to say the name.
John Doe.
You know what? That's messed up. You get dick pics during the show, and I get fucking bill collectors calling me. I was like, I don't got money.
I paid off my car.
Yeah, but there are other people coming after me. That's just one bill, girl.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's just one bill.
Oh, that's too funny.
So go ahead. Let's hear about Steve. Wait, no, not Steve.
Might as well. Let's just call him Steve.
So
for lack of better term, we're going to call this gentleman Steve.
So tell me about his wiener.
It's beautiful. It's uncut. I know. And that's really what kept me on Snapchat.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, God damn it.
Whoa, girl, you made the desk vibrate.
I know. But yeah, no, it's been kind of fun just to be like snapping with this random person that I don't know.
And you, so obviously then my next question is mundane and mute. So you didn't sit on it yet.
No, not at all.
Okay. We'll get working on that. Oh my God, I hope he's listening. Hi, stranger.
I think he was the first half, so.
Oh,
I hope he goes back.
I hope his girlfriend's listening too.
Oh, that's fucked up. We do not condone home wrecking.
Yeah. I mean, I do, but that's just me, so.
Block.
Okay, I don't condone home wrecking for all of our listeners, because remember, I am still single, technically.
What?
You're not single?
Yeah, I am.
What?
I've never been in a relationship. Well, no, okay, I've been in a relationship, but.
A what?
With the bottle, but yeah, sure.
Anyway, so we're going to move on. So we had a beautiful penis that we were talking about earlier, and now we're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about? Do we want to talk about an asshole?
Well, being that we were talking about penises, let's talk about the soccer, the rugby players.
Okay.
Because they tend to usually have nice bulges, and you know, we can
but
sort of
this
have
is an asshole.
Yeah, no, fuck this guy. No.
Yeah, he's an asshole. So we don't really want to
promote
endorse
his, penis.
His bulge. Israel follow. I think I'm saying that
Israel,
right.
Israel
follow.
Follow. Yeah. Okay.
Falau. Thank you. That's correct. Thank you. So this gentleman.
I language.
Now you're doing what I do.
What?
You call every evil person a gentleman.
This guy. Dickhead.
Okay, thank you.
Got fired. He was the highest paid rugby star out of Australia. He got fired because of his anti-LGBTQ+ rhetoric on Instagram, I believe. And then he started a GoFundMe to fund himself after he got fired because he's a dick. And then GoFundMe was like, no. They literally shut it down.
Well, wasn't he trying to raise money because he got fired because he's the one that made the homophobic comments, right?
Yeah. He was trying to raise money for himself, though.
And so,
for his legal expenses.
There is
for himself.
Right, of course. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm saying that's what he was raising. It was a $3 million fundraiser to finance
for the
legal
highest
challenge.
Paid rugby player.
Mm-hmm. It's important to know that it is not illegal for you to go out on GoFundMe and ask money for yourself.
Right.
However, what he was doing was trying to raise money to further perpetuate his homophobic lifestyle.
The problem wasn't that he was raising money for the fact that he wanted to pay for his lawyer bills or whatever it is. It's the fact that his rhetoric was against the company. So the company literally came out and
against
said
the company's stance.
Correct. So we are absolutely committed to the fight for equality for LGBTIQ+ people and fostering an environment of inclusivity. GoFundMe cut the cord. He literally put on his post warning, drunks, homosexuals, so all of us, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, and I'm going to say that wrong, idolaters, hell awaits for you. Only Jesus saves.
You go ahead and keep believing that, girl. See you in hell.
But so he posted this on his GoFundMe asking for money, and they were like, no, we're not going to promote this, which is amazing. GoFundMe, which, you know, they do a plethora of things. They support, you know, whoever needs money for whatever reason, was like, we're not going to condone this. Hey, this listen. Is...
When grandma passed away, it became for us as a family a vehicle for our family to be able to find a centralized location to actually donate funds and help for the funeral expenses, as well as other strangers that, you know, out of the kindness of their heart did so, and even friends. So, I mean, it's an amazing service to be able to have. But when you're trying to use it for all the wrong reasons, I really, really, I'm really thankful that GoFundMe decided to do this.
Right. Now, something that this concerns me with is, okay, so this is an Australian. I don't know if GoFundMe is based differently when it comes by nation, but when you look,
it could be,
and that's
what, they could have different regulations that surround certain services like GoFundMe in different countries.
Right. So something that worries me is this is a person who is clearly expressing his religious views. Now look at the current court cases that have hit the highest court in the land, have gone to the Supreme Court, the Baker cases out of Colorado and Oregon. Now, should something like this happen, could a grievance be filed against GoFundMe here in the United States? I don't know how the Supreme Court works in Australia, but if this were to happen here, if they were to be dropped because of their religious views, could this be pushed up to the Supreme Court?
It probably it's could possible. Be. But I also think that the rhetoric that he expressed was so...
it's heinous and it's disgusting.
Aggressive?
Yes, absolutely.
That it's clearly hate speech.
Right, absolutely. So, I agree this is hate speech. I agree. And that's just me getting, like I said, my concern.
I'm not trying to fight with you. I'm just...
Right, no, of course. And that's something that's concerning is what's going to come out of this. I'm sure that something like this would go to the Australian High Courts. I feel like this is not over. I feel like this is not over. I feel like this will be a topic that we're going to be covering again.
It's a possibility. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, there could be different jurisdictions and different laws that may apply in different countries because of whatever laws they have on the books. Like, I could see a case like this, for example, in the Middle East having a totally different outcome than it would whether that was in Australia or the U.S. or even in South America or Central America. So, I mean, it all depends. I mean,
and even when you look at the bill that we were talking about that Kamala Harris was putting forward, she was saying that health insurance companies, so they're going toward a business just such as GoFundMe. She was saying that you cannot deny coverage for someone who's using Truvada. So that's saying that a company cannot discriminate on someone who's using something for their medical advancements. And this is saying, you know, you cannot discriminate against someone for the religious aspects.
Well, but I mean, when you think about, you know, you can't discriminate someone, based on the fact that that's a medical treatment, like for example, Truvada. Our laws say that you can't deny service, right? And
service, right?
Service to anyone that's looking for, which technically is coverage.
Coverage is paying for it. Service is getting the job done. Service is having the doctors take care of you.
And so when you think about what this person is doing and how he's utilizing a service that's meant to help people, I could see why, you know, GoFundMe would take that stance. And, you know, as a company, they're not a publicly traded company.
Right.
So they don't fall under certain rules and regulations. Exactly. So they don't
have the investors that have to have a say in it.
So they can, as a company, make a decision as to how they want to run their business and who they want to serve, just like these bakers decided that they didn't want to serve the gay community. They have that legitimate right to do so because they're not a publicly funded company or a publicly traded company.
But I also think that, like, there's more to this, right? So he's receiving messages from all of his supporters and saying, we still support you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting here like, how are you going to support somebody that is so anti-gay, whether they are this amazing Australian rugby star or not, right? How are you going to sit there, support them, and try to financially support them? Meanwhile,
in Australia,
you nailed it. You nailed it. I'm just saying, like, what kind of people are supporting this person? Like, if you are a religious person, Are you not supposed to be inclusive of everyone? Are you not supposed to be supporting everybody, no matter who they are, no matter where they came from? If it were me, I would want to be a part of an organization that was inclusive of all, not an organization that says, you go to hell if you're this, you go to hell if you're this. This is ridiculous.
But
like,
this is
absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, of course, but this is still a divisive issue when it comes to Australia. You know, we had Chris Entwistle, I believe is his name, right? We had Chris Entwistle on. Australia just recently legalized marriage equality.
I could see this happening in the United States.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. But this is still something very fresh to Australia, and there are those who lost the debate that are still butthurt, kind of a pun, still butthurt about
it. I'd love to be butthurt right now.
Okay, well, not over this issue. But anyway, serious, Tommy, serious. Okay. We're serious now.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
So this is something that's fresh to the Australians. There are people that are upset because they lost the debate. So there are people that are going to go out of their way with guns blazing to fight to take the support away from our community.
But it's also, you know, you have to take into account too that this has a religious undertone to it, and therefore
anytime
that religion is involved with civil rights and laws that don't govern, that are not, you know, governed by what the Bible says, there's always controversy behind it, right? And you'll always have some stupid idiot that takes a book and misinterprets to serve their own needs and their own bigotry and their own ignorance and their own and the fact that they don't know anything about our community.
But like beyond that, like this motherfucker has a platform.
I love it.
This motherfucker has a platform. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker got fired. You got fired because you were putting down an entire community. You got fired because you are not a humanitarian. You got fired because you weren't supporting potentially people that are on your fucking team. And now you have an entire community of people, whether your thousands of supporters messaged you. Only thousands? I'm sorry, honey. That's pretty sad. But like, let's be honest here. Let's fucking be honest here. You literally put down a fucking entire community. You have a platform. You have a fucking job in a sports field, which is a new sports field, and it's a growing sports field, and it's going to be a great sport. And you are literally telling people that are gay, that love rugby, that play rugby at their high schools, at their middle schools, that, you know what? You're not good enough because you're gay. And that is what pisses me off about this whole thing. This motherfucker should have been fired. This motherfucker should have been shut down from GoFundMe, which he was. Thank you. But at the end of the day, really, take it to a high court. Go for it. Go for it. Because your thousands of followers are going to be nothing compared to the millions of people that are coming for you.
Absolutely. And when it comes to the law, we here in the United States, we have the Lemon Test. Which it has to do with keeping the separation of church and state. Now, again, like I said, I don't. Well, there are three factors that have to do. And of course, there was a decision 2 days ago. I believe it was 7-2 about a cross that was in Maryland. Again, opener fact checked us. I believe it was Maryland. There was a 40-foot cross that people wanted to get taken down because it was on public property owned by the state of Maryland, and they said that, you know, it's implying religion on us. It was a 7-2 decision to keep the cross up because it didn't cross the entanglement clause. Here in the United States, we have three tests that have to do with religion that are really important to put out there. And the test there, that if someone is pushing something forward that does not have secular legislative purposes, so it's non-religious purposes, that can be struck down. The other one is to inhibit or advance religion, and the final is to excessive government entanglement if the government gets involved in it. So it's incredibly important to find out if the Australian government is going to have something in this, or if their constitution is against this. Because I know I said it, I sound like beating the dead horse, but I'm terrified that this is going to go to the courts, and it's going to get to the point.
In this article, it says that he wants to take it to the higher courts.
He's going to. I mean, he's going to hit the lower courts. He's going to hit their equivalent of the appellate courts that we have here in the United States. And it's fearsome that if it goes up there, if there's a conservative majority, that something like we've seen here in the United States can happen there.
No, you're 100% right. But at the end of the day, what this needs, whether it goes to the higher courts or not, is it needs a group of people that are behind it, a group of people that are not behind him, a group of people that are behind a cause, a group of people that are going to support what is important.
Right.
And what's important is gay visibility in sports, no matter what fucking sport absolutely. It is. And it doesn't matter if you're anti-gay and you're the highest paid rugby player. You need to be tolerant. You need to be a fucking tolerant person, because you know what? Your best person right next to you, you're the person that's blocking for you could be gay. Mm-hmm. I played fucking football and I was gay and I was blocking for my straight quarterback constantly.
Mm-hmm. Of course he was. He was just blocking the girls.
I know. But valid. you need to have the ability to be tolerant no matter what circumstance you're in, whether you are religious or not. Because if you are a religious person, as a religious person, no matter what your denomination, no matter what your faith is, you should be tolerant of all. That's what religion is about. But really, historically, it's not. Well, and so we need to really start identifying where these people are coming from. And what religions are literally putting people down?
Because people, what they do is they hijack religion. They hijack religion
and use it as a cause
toward their advancement. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. People have bastardized all forms of religion that teach to love one another, to appreciate one another, to honor one another, and they turn it into hatred and murder. That's what it is.
Look, it's Islam against Catholics. It's Catholics against Jews. It's you know, the Jews against the evangelicals. And it's like every single faction.
The Jews are a peaceful people.
Well, listen, they have their issues too.
Every religion does.
I mean, when you think about it, you know, in Israel, most of the laws that are codified into law are based on the Torah. They're based on a religious book. And so when you start doing that, when you start bringing religion into civil
conversations.
Life and conversations, it really distorts the possibility of everyone that's at the table to really get a well-balanced law that allows people to live their lives freely without persecution in a way that allows you to still do you. Mm-hmm. But let me be me and stop attacking me for it.
And look, I'm not anti-religious. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say here. That's not, I don't think, what we are all trying to say here.
No, not at all.
I think that there is something really special and beautiful about being religious and having faith and moving forward in life with that support behind you.
There have been many...
Did she just cut me off?
Just a little bit. I just wanted to say that there have been many faiths that have really turned the page and have really started to embrace the LGBT community. And we're seeing that in a lot of the churches, for example, the Church on the Green here and in other places.
You're right.
That are embracing the community because we are human. We love just like you do. And we have the capacity to reach out to someone higher than us, to a higher power, and understand that, you know, it's all about faith and being able to just have hope for humanity.
And also, at the end of the day, too, it's like if you want to be a part of a religious faith that is putting a people down and saying, you're going to go to hell if you're this, 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 mm-hmm. this, or this, but I'm not going to go to hell because I'm putting you down, you down, you down, you down, and making you feel terrible. Really, think about it logically. I mean, you're wrong. You are a hate-filled person.
Right.
You are not a part of an organization or a religion that is really supportive of humanity.
But that's the beauty of organized religion.
All I'm saying is, would you really want to be a part of something that puts people down?
Absolutely not. And
no,
they're going
to
be
you want to be a part of something that lifts people up. Right. That's what religion is supposed to do.
That's exactly what it is. It's supposed to lift you up to the pearly gates. And these are the people that are going to arrive at the pearly gates after they're dead, and they're going to get kicked in the dick or the snatch and kicked back down to hell, like in their eyes of heaven or hell. If you're going to be an asshole, that doesn't get you into where you think you're going. That does not get you into where you think you're going. You think that if you're going to allow child molestation or these cover-ups and then hate-filled speech, picketing funerals for young men who have lost their lives, saying, you know, just hurtful things and attacking and abusing the family and friends and the supporters of this young man or woman, Nothing about you is holy. No. Nothing about you is Christian.
But you know what's great is earlier you said something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, you know what? You piss off one person, it's fine. Piss off a gaggle of gays.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're coming for you.
Like, we're honestly, community like,
you don't mess with.
We have, our community has socially moved forward so quickly so in comparison to historic movements. Yep. And I think that's probably because of when the movement started. But at the same time, like, we're not scared. We're not quiet. We're not going to be quiet.
No, we're not going to sit down and take it. We don't have to.
No. If you want to be a dick, you just lost your career. Right. And exactly. Your butt hurt. So. Yeah.
When it comes down to it, people always have to remember that those who are going out of their way to commit atrocities and try to instill fear on people, terrorism always loses. Because what it does is no different than the gay community or America as a whole. When such divisiveness is subjected to terrorism and fear and aggression, that divisiveness goes away. Mm-hmm. Though we have talked many times about how our community has become somewhat segregated, when you come at our community, we're together. We're together. When you look at what happened at Club Pulse, there was no segregation in our community. And if anything like that ever happens again, you will have a flaming force.
Well, we know how to come together and handle our business. You know, we've been put under the microscope. We've been beat. We've been made fun of. We've been taunted. We have been bullied. We have been called every name possible under the book. We have been rejected by our own parents.
Right.
We have been the subject of so much adversity in our lives that when you attack one of us, You attack all of us.
It's no different than when they hit those towers on 9/11. Mm-hmm. The adversity in this nation, that went away.
Yeah.
We stood together. Seeing the flags flying down the streets, down the highways, you don't come at us.
Yeah. No.
Because we'll put our differences aside and we'll overcome your threat, your cowardice, and you're just being a dick and a pussy. That's we'll right. fucking beat that. We will overcome that.
Yeah, we will. I mean, like, we are... I mean, I'll never forget. We've talked about it on the show, but you brought it up, and for some reason, it just like it's resonating right now. So the day Pulse happened, mm-hmm. that night, the next morning, I woke up and I was informed about it, and I couldn't really feel a lot for a while.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. then I couldn't stop crying.
That's right.
And then when I started crying, I started getting angry, and then I started getting active, and that's what we do, and that's what we've always done.
Right.
We will be angry, we will be active, we will be peaceful,
right?
But we will make sure you know that we're not going anywhere and we are changing the world.
Right, that's and right. being peaceful, so, peaceful is the utmost importance. Anger can be a crippling emotion, but you can do something with anger. And that's what you just said. It brought you to be an activist. It brought you to open your voice, open your heart, and get out there and speak up against this. Mm-hmm. And that you have to harbor that anger and use it constructively. And that's what you've done. That's what you've done, Tom. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what we're trying to do
every
day.
You're working on it.
I'm working on it. Well, I
mean, since we're speaking of... peaceful protest. I just wanted to let you know that concept, for example, when Dr. King marched to, you know, gain those civil rights that they so deserved, there was a person buzzing in his ear, and that person was Bayard Rustin. And he was a gay man that stood by Dr. King's side, constantly feeding him ideas of how he could peacefully protest and make his voice heard and unify the people. And they came together. And in 1965, they passed a civil rights movement in this country, the Civil Rights Act, which gave, you know, Black Americans incredible power that they had not had prior to that. I mean, even after the Emancipation Declaration, you know, there was a lot of, the Emancipation Proclamation.
But that didn't free anyone.
It didn't really free anyone, and it really just caused a lot of animosity towards the Black community. But this gentleman happens to be a gay man, and he stood by Dr. King's side, guiding him on how to move forward and how to execute peaceful protest. And so I just wanted to put that out there. And that's also part of our one of our Pride Icon spotlights for last week. So if you want to, make sure you go check those out.
Also, interesting enough, so we started this Pride Spotlight and we had an author reach out to us, and Mason Funk is his name, which is pretty amazing.
Yes, Mr. Funk.
And it's called The Book of Pride, and it's about LGBTQ heroes who have changed the world. There are 75 highlighted heroes throughout the book. This book is available on all outlets, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere you can get it. You can get it on Audible. You can get it all the different things that you want.
Is he coming on?
He will be joining us, yes. I was hoping to have him today, but did not work out. But but The Book of Pride, which we're coming up on World Pride, is really important for our community because it's literally highlighting 75 important people that really brought us to where we are today.
That's right. All right. Well, listen, we've got a couple of more things that we'd like to throw at you if you let us. Of course, there's Mama Kim.
Oh, my God.
Minute. And so I'll toss it over to Trish. Christopher, get that clock ready.
Oh, my God. This is going to be a hard one.
Yeah. I think you can get
it. Giggity.
All right. All right. So, and go. And it's been a minute, but we are here with Mama Kim. So, number one, Queer Eye, renewed for season 4 and 5 on Netflix. Number two, Nicholas Sparks, I'm ashamed right now because I love your movies, apologizes for offending the LGBTQ plus community with anti-gay emails. Three, House votes to block Trump's transgender troop ban. Four, New York banned gay panic defense in murder cases. If approved, New York will be the 7th state to ban the defense.
Do it.
Yes. Five, Cracker Barrel cancels church event after pastor's LGBTI
execution
remarks. The U.S. restaurant chain will not host an event organized by a Tennessee pastor who called for the executions of LGBTI people.
I'm proud of you, Cracker Barrel.
Six, society's expectations of bisexuality and disabilities isn't stopping this model. There is a model that is bi and disabled, and he is out there.
You lost your touch, girl.
Yeah, we're out there. All right, so seven, thousands of teens spared conversion therapy due to state bans, reports find.
Only 18% of Americans believe in controversial practice. That's amazing. Stop.
Oh, yeah, no, time was terrible.
Yeah, no, so I totally went over. I totally went over.
1 minute and 10.
There was a lot.
She gave you a lot. Sometimes there was a lot. She wants you to fail.
She warned us. She did warn us. She warned us in a message, and she said, and I quote, "You guys are having an All About the Dish episode next week, so get ready because I'm coming guns blazing." I was like, woo.
Bring it on, girl. We want you to come back on.
Well, I think we were going to call her today, but then we got away with ourselves, though.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Mama Kim, but we love you. You know. That.
You know, we'll always have All About the Dish days. It'll be back. It'll be back.
Nothing but love for my Mama Kim. All right. So, gay talk term?
Yeah. So, Trish? This week's gay talk term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com,
is a new ground, which is a rare term because it's a heterosexual babe in the homosexual woods. Oh, look at that one. Time for a new groundbreaking ceremony.
Is that like your new Tinder date?
Kind of.
Yeah, that is. That's why she picked
that. Oh my God,
that.
That's perfect.
Oh, I thought you did that on purpose.
No, I didn't.
I thought that was intentional.
I want you to reply to him and be like, "You're my new ground, by the way."
He is my new ground.
Christopher?
I still kind of want to see the penis. All right. So on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
I wanted to change it up and be like, GayTalk20.com, but we don't get any money. So
yeah, keep talking.
So on this gay and day history, this is a close one, and it's a reminder of what we used to have. On this day, June 24th, 2016, in the great state of New York, the Stonewall Inn became the first LGBT national monument. That's right.
Yes,
that's
right. Queen. Yes.
The great United States President Barack Obama designates the site of the Stonewall Inn in New York City, New York, as a national monument marking the first national park recognizing the LGBT history in the United States. The Stonewall National Monument encompasses a 7.7-acre square of Greenwich Village, including the adjacent Christopher Park and streets where queer protesters rioted back in the year of 1969.
Can I bring you back? Can you go back and say the name of our great president again?
The great president, Barack Obama.
We miss you.
We love him.
Oh, my God. I feel nostalgic when you say that. I feel a sense of amazing goodness, and I get all the feels when
because
you say
because it's love, and it's respect, and it's pride, and it's dedication and devotion to someone who cares for our nation. And with this being said, to those of our listeners...
You got him going.
To those of our listeners... who are part of the LGBT community or allies of the LGBT community, and you feel that Donald Trump and his administration cares about you, remember this. President Obama made Stonewall Inn a national monument to dedicate to our community, to dedicate to the American community. The President of the United States has not acknowledged the month of June as Pride Month. He's done nothing to stand up for you. He's done nothing to show support or care for you. His vice president has never and will never. These men care nothing about you, and they must be removed.
All right, well.
I agree.
That just happened.
It did, and that's amazing. Okay. And so, I was going to mention something, and then you started with that, and that just took me on a ride with you, and now it just left, so I'm just going to move on. Anyway, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review our show on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and the greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which gets you access to this amazing live video stream that all of you Patreon subscribers get to see.
Yay!
Our Patreons, as a Patreon subscriber, you, our listener, can help support the show with a pledge donation for us to collect here on the show every month that helps us out with expenses and bringing you live streams and all this amazing things that we do behind the scenes. And thank you for being a Patreon for those who have signed up with us and are there with us month after month and week after week. Chris?
Yes. Next week, we have some very handsome hands coming back to the show. Mm-hmm. That's right. The handsome, intellectual, insightful Dr. G will be joining us for this month's Tale from the Tail.
That's right.
All right, so before I say my segment, I'm going to read something really quick.
Uh-oh.
So this is from my Snapchat, Instagram.
Oh!
Yeah, so haha, thanks for all your kind words about my dick. That was funny.
He's your new
ground. I don't
get
it, though. Are you Trish? LOL. And I'm like, yeah, I'm Trish. Long story. I'll tell you at a later date. Anyway, so if you are heading to World Pride this weekend, happy fucking Pride. 50 years World Pride. That's amazing. But please do us a favor. Be safe. Make sure you're taking your Truvada. Wrapping it up, doing all the things you need to do.
All
but be safe and have fun.
And also be aware of your surroundings.
That's exactly, yeah. Sad to take it to that point, but it's something that has to be said.
You know, just be aware of your surroundings. If you see something, say something. It is absolutely true, and it does work, and it does save lives. And be aware of who you're with, where you're going. Have a plan. Have an exit plan. Because, you know, sadly, it's the world that we live in, but we want to make sure that all our people are safe and that everybody enjoys an amazing Pride in New York City.
Right, and also if you're there, you know, have a good time, you know, party your ass off, but always remember to reflect like what that means to be there, the epicenter of Pride for the globe, the beginning of it. So really just be sure to, you know, reflect and enjoy yourself, but know where it came from and understand and be prideful of that.
I agree. 100%. You gave me a lot to say today. So we have an upcoming event that we want to plug again. So if you are in the tri-state area and would like to see a screening of Tu Wong Fu, Tom's favorite movie,
Julie Newmar, yes!
The Bedford Playhouse is having an event celebrating Pride by having a screening of the classic LGBT flick, along with a special guest, Kiki Lucia, and Miss Frank for hilarious pre-show shenanigans. We have a full post on our have a full post on our website. Tickets are available by clicking on the link that will be on our website, or by heading over to the website, bedfordplayhouse.org.
That's right. And actually, the event is this Thursday, so make sure that you guys check it out.
Why wouldn't you put that on everything that you wrote for me?
Yeah, right?
Well,
just like, you know, maybe the date.
It's this Thursday. Like, well, the post is already online. I'm going to share it again on Facebook so you guys are reminded, but it is on our website, so amazing. Chris?
I have a confession.
You have a confession.
I've never seen Tu Wong Fu.
Oh my God, you should totally
I don't even know what it's about.
It's Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. It's a movie where you can see Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo, and Wesley Snipes dress up as drag queens and go from New York to L.A. and have an amazing adventure in between.
Did Wesley Snipes take a detour from New York to L.A. to go to prison?
No.
She went to jail.
No.
All righty. Can we put a rubber on this?
Wesley Snipes had the only Peg Bundy wig and looked amazing in that red suede get up this
year. I kind of do want to see. I almost said Ted Bundy because of what you just said.
The opening.
All right. I'll watch.
Anyway, let's go.
Can we put a rubber on it? I'm putting it on anyway. All righty. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gmail.com. Tom, finish the show.
What I was trying to say was that she's already talking cursive. Anyway.
Already. It's the end of the fucking show. YouTube been slurring the whole time.
That's right. If you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the web browser where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We can answer those questions for you on the show. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish. Wow.